9.5 minutes in the first service. I'm going to do it in 12 and a half this service. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for those who teach your word. Bless it, I pray today, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You have your Bible. I want you to open it up to one verse of scripture that I'm going to talk about this morning out of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. We started this just one step a few weeks ago. I began to talk about out of Genesis how Isaac, the Bible says that he went forward and he grew until he became very great. There's a process of going forward to become very great. And then I talked about the wells that he encountered. And then last week I talked about that there really are demons. You can't be free from something if you don't know something is there. I talked about my farm being broken into and my boys telling me I needed to have a security system. And I thought they were crazy and until I got broken in a second time. So I had to be convinced that I needed to lock down the doors of where I live. And although the enemy can't own a Christian, he can have influence on their life. The person that broke into my barn didn't own the barn, but he sure had influence on what was in it and on my life that day. And all I want to do today is I want to just continue on with you closing those doors, because I'm convinced that many of us don't know where the enemy is coming in. We live our lives. We get to a certain point of our lives. We find out that all these things have gone wrong. And we wonder, you know, how come this is happening in my life? Why did I get here? You know, I turn around. We don't even realize sometimes what it took to get us to where we're at. Either it be good or sometimes very bad. But I'm convinced that many times it's like myself, that I didn't know the importance of locking it down and not letting and not giving the enemy any foothold. Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him any room in your life. Because if you do, he's going to come in. He's going to steal. He's going to take things from you. He's going to take over from you. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, and I just want to talk about these three things just for a moment this morning. And I was reminded this week of something that I heard that we not necessarily don't need to be taught more, but we need to be reminded more. So I want to remind you of this, that maybe these are doors that are open in your life. And if they are, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to have his way. And he's going to leave you hurt, bruised, bleeding. He's going to steal your dream, your joy. He's going to take away the very precious things in your life. And he's going to beat you down until you don't know what hit you. Come on. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, it says, don't love the world or anything in the world. Now, he's not talking about the dirt, the terra firma. He's talking about the spirit of the world. He's talking about the world being dominated by the enemy himself. And the Bible says, if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And then he describes what it is to people that love the world. Now, listen to me just for a minute. For everything that is in the world, He talks about three. He says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They come not from the Father, but from the world, the spirit of the world. The world and its desires, they pass away. But whoever does the will of the Father, of God, he lives forever. Come on, anybody here want to live with God? I don't want to go to where Phil was talking about last Tuesday. I want to live my life, not only in eternity in heaven, but I want to have a slice of heaven right here on earth. Anybody in the house with me today? Come on. So, you know, if I didn't already have the title of Just One Step, I would have called this message Shut It Down, because some of these things we got to shut down in our life. And he talks about the three, the lust of the flesh, that's the passion, that's that fleshly appetite that I don't care who you are or what your name is, you got it running in your blood. So you are born with it. The Bible says you were born in sin. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. You deal with it. Every one of us deal with it. Your pastor deals with it. And those appetites, they capitalize on your feelings and they lead you, if unrestrained, in an unhealthy direction. It's a hedonistic understanding in the world that if I can just feel happy, everything will be all right. But how many of you know today that God doesn't and he isn't just looking for you and I to feed our appetite so we'll be happy all the time? He's looking for you to put to death the deeds of the flesh so he can live through you and you'll know not only happiness, but you'll have joy unspeakable and full of grace and glory. And you got to crucify the lust of the flesh. You say, man, preacher, are you going to be talking about this all the time? No, but these are doors that if they're open in your life, the enemy is coming in. In this one, he says, these three, the lust of the flesh. The second area is the lust of the eyes. It's our possessions. I want it. I want it all. And I got to have it now. That's how people get in trouble with their finances. It promotes its goods. The world does it. It makes you think, if you just get this, you can have it all. If you can smell like this, if you can wear this, if you can drive this, if you own this, you will be this. What leads us into the third thing is the pride of life. That's the position. And God, he doesn't only not like the pride in our life. The Bible says he sets himself against it in James 4, 6. He's opposed to the proud. In 1 Peter 5, 5, again, he says he's opposed to the proud. Opposed the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he wants to help you and I with our passions, with our possessions, and with our position. And so how do we do that? And I've got to just move right along on this because I'm only going to be about 6 more minutes. How many of you give me 6 more minutes? Come on, let me see your hands. I'm going to take 6 more minutes because some of you, you've left the door open of this in your life. And the enemy will come in and he'll ruin you. He'll take over that first thing. He says, all that is in the world, the number one, the lust of the flesh. The opposite of dealing with that is to have integrity in your heart. And it doesn't mean that you're perfect or that you've always been perfect. But it's the person that lives and removes the mask from their face. And a lot of times, the reason that people don't want to get into a Bible study, they don't want to hang around other people, is because they're afraid that somebody will see who they really are. And that is exactly what you and I need. We need people in our lives to see us who we are, not to judge us or to condemn us. And not one of these people, let me tell you something, all these people that were up behind me, they're handpicked. They don't just waltz in here. They're not voted into it. They're handpicked because none of them will judge you or look down at you. They're all here to lift you up and to encourage you, cheer you on and say, hey, you can get through this. You can make it past this in your life. Come on. Do you believe that today? The Bible says in Proverbs 5, 7, it says, now then, my sons, he says, listen to me. Listen to me today. Don't turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Who's her? That lust, that passion, that fleshly desire. Keep from it. Don't go near the door of her house. There's that phrase again, the door. Everything comes through a door that we open. He says, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to the one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and you toil and your toil enrich the house of another. Do I need to elaborate on that? Come on, men and women. Put to death the deeds of the flesh through the integrity of your heart. And open up your life to others if you're struggling in an area. Come to somebody and say, hey, will you pray for me? I love how Romans 6, 12 in the Message says, it says that means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Well, should I or shouldn't I? Let me think. Do I feel like I want to do this today or don't I? Forget your feelings and live by what the Word of God says your life ought to live. Your feelings will lead you down a pathway to hell. He says, don't give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. You've got to live the way he wants you to. Say yes to God. Say no to the devil. I will not. If your flesh starts drawing you in that direction, call somebody out. Get a brother. Get a partner. Get somebody that can help you out of that mess. Because if you go that way, you're going down a pathway that will destroy you and hurt you and the ones that are around you. Come on, will somebody say just an amen to me today? Number two, the lust of the eyes, that's our possessions. And the opposite of dealing with that is to have a generous heart. Listen, the enemy wants you to be selfish and self-centered and conduct your life all around what you want and what you feel. And none of us are immune to that. But a spirit of generosity breaks the spirit of materialism that wants to dominate our lives. The devil wants you to get. But God says, I want you to give. And when you give, you crush that spirit of I want it, the lust of my eyes. Oh, I got to have that. Oh, that's that. There's nothing wrong with having things. But what is wrong for things to have you? And the best way to deal with it is to hear what God says. It's to give him first. And I love this scripture in Genesis 4. It says, and I always used to get upset at God when I first became a Christian and read this. I thought, God, who are you? I mean, what's the deal here? And the Bible says that Abel in chapter 4, verse 2, he kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil in the course of time. Abel was a dairy farmer. Cain was a crop farmer. I always liked that. In the course of time, look at that word. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as offered to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from the first of his flocks. One gave in the course of time. Oh, it's time for an offering. I got a couple bucks laying around here somewhere. But oh, not Abel. Abel, he planned. He gave the first of what God had entrusted him with. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And Cain became angry, and his face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you give him first, not leftovers, if you'll crush that spirit of the lust of your eyes, he said, if you'll do right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not what is right, sin is crouching, there it is again, at your door. The enemy is always at the door waiting to sneak his way in there. Its desire is to have you, but you must rule over. And if you read on in that same chapter, you'll find out that Cain went out. He got jealous and he got upset and he took the life of his brother because he did not follow God's plan in that area of his life. Do you know today that if you want your life to be fruitful and you want to be faithful to God, that you must learn in this area of generosity and stewardship. And the tithe that God speaks about in the Word of God. I don't care what New Age and what words are going on in the world today. The tithe still represents that part that belongs to God. It represented it in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were. He says, don't touch this point right here. Don't touch this tree. You can have everything else, but you keep this holy unto the Lord. The tithe is a test of our possessions. In fact, the Bible describes tithing as testing. Listen to this. There were 10 plagues when God tested Pharaoh. There were 10 commandments. 10 times God tested Israel in the wilderness. 10 times Jacob's wages were changed. 10 days Daniel was tested. 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. 10 days of testing in Revelation 2:10. Testing is a form of what you do for God, and he wants to see where your heart is. And the Bible says in Malachi 3, he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the house of God where you get your food from, your spiritual food. He said that there may be food in my house. And he says, try me. One translation says, test me. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, go ahead, test me. Put me to the test. Give me what belongs to me, and I'll bless that 90% like you never could imagine. Listen, I didn't put Brad up. When I looked at Brad as a young man, I didn't see where he was. I saw where God was going to take him at that time. I saw him blessed. I saw a man of God. I saw a future over his life, like I do with many of you. And he was just crazy and foolish enough that when I told him to get to work, Brad, that he got out and begin to do what God told them to do. And you know what happens? The Bible says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Those creditors will quit calling and knocking on your door. I'll rebuke the devourer that he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And when you do this principle, like it or not, believe it or not, you'll see the hand of God. God wants first. Everybody say first. Say it again like you mean it. Say first of everything that comes into your hand. He wants it. And the pride of life. That's the opposite, the antidote, the way to shut that door is through humility. It's the antidote to pride. I love this. I heard this quote this week. It says, a man on his face can never fall from that position. Humble. No pride. Pride will keep God from you. But if you'll let God, if you'll be humble, if you'll, you know, fasting and prayer is an act of humility before the Lord. Giving is an act of humility before the Lord. Serving is an act of humility before the Lord. If you'll do those things, you will shut the door in the areas where the enemy has come and robbed. Listen, when I told Brad, I didn't plan this. When I told him, don't do the bankruptcy, because he told me his father, his mother had, it's a spirit that followed generation to generation. Listen to me right now. Some of you, your parents, your grandparents have opened the door and let those other things into your life. Pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Well, I just want to be happy. Well, I just want this for my life. It's time for you to shut the door on that right now. And I don't care if I'm talking to somebody in their 50s or 60s, or if you're 15 or 16, you got to declare, that's not happening in my life. That's not going to happen in my life. My father died when he was 60 years old of alcoholism, destroyed our home, gave what we had to another. And I made up my mind when I was a younger man, I'm not going to let the enemy come into my home, into my family, and steal what God says belongs to me. Come on today. I'm going to close with this verse, Revelation 3:7. He says, what he opens, God, no man can shut. No one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. And God wants to shut some of those doors over your life today. He says, I know your deeds. I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And I know you have little strength. You're humble, Church of Philadelphia. You're humble. You have little strength. Yet you have kept my word. And you haven't denied my name. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not unto my own understanding, but in all my ways, even when I don't feel like it, even when it doesn't feel like I should, I do what the Word of God says, because when I do it, then He comes alive in my life. Then His promises come to pass in my life. Then I begin to have it all in my life. Come on today. Woo! Man, I feel God in this house right now. I want you to stand up to your feet right now. I want everyone to stand right now. Jesus, close your eyes all over the house. Man, I sense God doing a work in the house of God right now. I sense that He wants to shut some of those doors in some of your life. I didn't even know how this was going to go. I was saying, Holy Spirit, you got to show me. You got to give me the answer on this. And I just felt this just come over me right now. Some of you, you've left those doors. I'm talking to some seniors in here too. And don't you be so arrogant and prideful in your life that you stand there while your kids are looking at you and say, well, I'm not going to do that because that's not me. I don't do that. It needs to be you. It needs to be you. I want my prayer folk to come down and stand in front of me, because I'm going to close. Some of you, you need to take a step towards Jesus today and say, when I step out, that door is going to close in my life. Maybe it's been a door that's been open in your family. Maybe it's been a door that's been open with parents. If I'm talking to you right now, I want you to get out of your seat. Maybe it's a door, addictions. Your dad was an alcoholic. Your grandfather, they used drugs. You use them. God wants to set you free. Maybe your parents have gone through divorce. Maybe you've messed up. God wants to, I want you to get out of your seat. If one comes, five, you'll lead the way. Why don't you be a leader today and let the Spirit of God help you? I want everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. If you're not moving, you're praying right now in this house. Don't be too arrogant and too prideful not to say, God, work in my heart, in my life right now. I'm looking for dads today. There's no coincidence. We had all these men up here talking about men's Bible study today. There's some men's. It's time for you to take a turn in your life and to begin to change some things, the direction that you've been going. And if you'll do that today, you'll be standing up with me up here in another few years like Brad was, and you'll be saying, I'm teaching a Bible study. I'm letting God use my life. He restored me on a Sunday morning in January of this past year. And God's doing a great work at me. I want some young people that want to go to another level in God. I want you to come and stand right in front of me. You know the hand of God is on you to do something powerful in your life. And I'm going to close in just a minute. I want some young people to come stand right in front of me. Come on. You know it's time for you to do and serve the Lord. It's time for you to give Him your all. I'm talking young people. I'm talking teenagers. Come. Stand right in front of me. No more. No more over your life. No! Aaron, Mark, where are you? Come on up here. My Benjamin, come on up here with me. Ryan, come on up here. Garrett, come on up here. Stand right up here. Lay your hands on these guys. Begin to pray over them. In the name of Jesus. I'm looking for some grandpas here this morning too. I'm a grandpa. I'm looking for a grandfather today. You'll humble yourself in the sight of God. And you'll let God do. I'm looking for a grandma too. Grandmas and grandpas. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We love you. We worship you, Lord, today. I'm going to close in just one moment. I'm going to pray. There's some dads. You're here today. Don't you be afraid of what God wants to do in your life right now. Love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. We're going to close in just a minute. I'm going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you. Don't walk out of here with a door open in your life, though. I praise your holy name, God. I praise your holy name. Some of you, you're living in an unholy situation right now. Listen, I'm not going to get up here and I'm not going to talk down on anyone, how you live. If you're living with somebody, you're not married, that's your decision. But I want you to know something today. That the greatest blessing of the Lord comes when you do it His way. You'll close the door on that. And you'll do it God's way. God will bless your life and He'll fix all the stuff that's surrounding your life right now. You wonder, what's happening? Why are these things happening to me? God wants to help you shut that door. I want you to get out of your seat. I'm going to close just one moment. I just sense the Lord that right now. Father, I thank you, God, today for your love. These people are taking one step. One step. Praise God. One more thing before I close. If you're in the middle of a financial crisis right now, I want you to come down. Bradley, you're going to pray for him. I want you to come down. Stand in front of Brad. You're going through a financial crisis right now. I'm not calling for people that you just want more money. I'm talking about you're in a financial bind and you want God to help you with the attitude and the heart of stewardship. Come stand right in front of Bradley right now. He's going to pray over you. Father, I give you praise today. You're great and you're greatly to be praised. We worship you in this house today. We trust you with our lives. We know that you have a plan for us. And God, as we shut these doors, God, you're going to open some that are beautiful and perfect for every single one of us. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory for that today in the name of Jesus. Before you leave this morning, this is the last Sunday of the month we take our missions offering. I want ushers, if you just grab 4 or 5 buckets in the back there. When you leave, we got a lot of mission stuff going on. Let's start the beginning of the year out good. Sow into that. They're going to stand up there with an offering bucket. In fact, I want one of you guys to come down at this door here in case Somebody wants to leave this door and they forget about going up there. One person with a bucket down at this door. God, I thank you for your love, for your power of your Holy Spirit today. Have your way in our lives. Be glorified and honored in all that we say and all that we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.